Welcome back to Current State. This is 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. This year, MSU's Abrams Planetarium is celebrating 50 years. And to mark the milestone, the planetarium's original star projector is being reassembled by one of the original staffers. Current State's Emmanuel Berry spoke with John Hare, who worked at Abrams nearly 50 years ago. Emmanuel, tell us more about this project.
Well, it's really cool, mainly because there's this old black and white photo of John working on the old star projector, and they essentially recreated that photo, and I got to kind of see that. John hasn't worked at Abrams for a while. He left for a planetarium, and he eventually founded his own company, which repairs planetarium equipment. So it was really special for him to be back there, and he said it was an absolute pleasure repairing the projector.
I'm in town to reassemble the original optical mechanical star projector that had been gathering dust in the basement of the planetarium since it was taken out of commission back in the early 90s. Well, it was replaced with a full-dome video projector, and even that technology has evolved to the point where the full-dome video projector that is now in service at the planetarium is obsolete by today's standards, and hopefully within a few years, they'll be able to upgrade the capability to take advantage of the latest high-definition, full-color, full-dome video.
What was the planetarium like in the early days? I always hear about laser shows and that sort of thing. Is that the kind of atmosphere it was? Or?
Well, laser shows are still presented in planetariums. At Abrams Planetarium in the early days, we didn't do any of that. It was just strictly astronomy education. Some of the staff at the planetarium, myself and others, especially some of the student help, kind of started branching out and looking at other ways that the planetarium could be utilized beyond just being a model of the outdoor sky and a classroom for astronomy. And so we started doing light shows at the planetarium, just using strobe lights and kaleidoscope projectors and using things like baby food jars and Pepsi bottles to come up with abstract image projectors. The late 60s and early 70s, this was a time when there was a lot of interest in psychedelic sorts of things. You know, the music reflected that. The drug culture reflected that. And, you know, students would come to the planetarium in altered states to enjoy the experience that it offered them. It was unique in many respects. You couldn't go to a movie over in East Lansing, or you couldn't go to a performance in the auditorium or anything like that that equaled the, in many cases, abstract experiences that we were able to create in the planetarium. So it kind of evolved into a very popular venue for the counterculture.
What's it like for you to be back here and reassembling that piece of equipment that you used to work with?
Well, it's brought back a lot of memories because one of the things that we did two nights ago, I arrived here and I met John French over at the planetarium, and we went down to the basement and looked at what equipment was still there. He had already moved some of the equipment over to the building that we're in now where the assembly is being done. But going through the basement of the planetarium, seeing the old offices and old workspaces, and seeing, in some cases, parts bins on the wall with labels that I recognized as my handwriting, and seeing posters for programs that were produced 30, 40 years ago that had my hand in you know, the production, it just was very nostalgic to me, you know, experiencing that. In lots of cases, like, you know, you see something over there and you say, that's my handwriting. Wow, it's still here after 35 years. Now, 1979 was when I left the planetarium. So it's, I don't know, kind of a weird but neat feeling.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
John Hare, a former Abrams employee, is in town to help reassemble the original star projector at Abrams Planetarium. And here to tell us more now about Abrams' 50th and the operations of Abrams Planetarium in 2014 is John French, Interim Director and Production Coordinator at Abrams Planetarium. Hi, John.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. How many visitors of all, I mean, I think of Abrams as a school kid kind of experience because like thousands of other mid-Michigan school kids, I remember taking the bus to Abrams Planetarium. It was a great, fun time. How many visitors of all ages do you get into the planetarium?
Right, yeah. You know, I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but I think it's somewhere around 20,000 visitors a year.
Okay.
You know, counting the weekend public shows and the school field trips that we have during the week.
And tell what's your bread and butter? What kind of viewings and events do you do on a regular basis?
Right. Well, our public shows are every week and every Friday and Saturday nights at 8 p.m. and then Sundays at 2:30 and 4 p.m. we have our public shows. And then during the week, we have schools that come in Tuesdays through Fridays. Schools from all over the state come to visit the Abrams Planetarium.
Remind our listeners about the Abrams family here in Lansing, because they were really the catalyst for this.
Right, yeah. Ted Abrams is who the planetarium is named after, I guess Ted and his wife Leota. And he was an aviation pioneer, and one of the things that he did was kind of was the, I guess, inventor almost of aerial photography. And he even built a special airplane back in the 30s that was designed specifically for aerial photography.
Yeah.
And made his fortune that way.
Any renowned visitors to Abrams Planetarium over the years?
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's been quite a few. I did hear a story that Isaac Asimov, the famous science fiction writer, was here.
Oh.
Years ago, we had a planetarium show that was based on one of his short stories called The Last Question. And one of the stories I heard was that when he was here back in the 70s, he brought with him a calculator, an HP calculator, and he was really proud of it and made sure that it was put in the safe while he was giving his talk so that it wouldn't be messed with or
oh,
stolen.
My, yeah, or cutting-edge technology,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, calculator.
TI-1200, yes.
Right.
I'm curious, does Abrams Planetarium attract serious students or scholars as well, or can you say you're primarily geared to the non-professional, the non-scholar?
Yeah, I mean, we are part of the astronomy department, and most of what goes on there is just public education and trying to teach people about looking at the night sky and kind of the wonders of the things that you can see up in the night sky. But one of the things that we are moving towards, we've just recently hired a new director that is hoping to try to do some educational research and perhaps study some of the positive effects of field trips on education and kind of work with astronomers and work with the education department to try to do some actual research out of the planetarium.
We just heard John Hare's perspective on reassembling the original star projector. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, well, it was a lot of fun. We pretty much put it together last week, but it's still sitting in one of the assembly bays over in the BPS building. But today we're going to move it out into the lobby. We had to wait till we got a crane and a lift that we could move it over there. And put it up, and it was a lot of fun putting it together, seeing how all that old technology worked with the analog computers. I'd really love to thank Dean Schutz and Dan Edmonds. They really helped put the thing together. It's their space that we were using, and they saw all these pieces that we were putting there and were so fascinated by them that they just kind of jumped in and started to try to reassemble it on their own and really helped us out. And of course, Tom Palazzolo, the head of the machine shop over there, really helped quite a bit too.
We've got a brand new month we're looking at here today, and a lot of people who are attracted to the night sky, looking at the night sky, think, well, okay, what's unfolding in April? What is happening in April that's notable?
Yeah, well, the planet Mars is coming up to opposition early in April, and opposition is when the planet is really best viewed. Mars sometimes is pretty far away from us, but when it's near opposition, it's relatively close, and so it's going to be much brighter in our sky than it might normally be. And so Mars right now, if you want to see it, go outside shortly after the sun goes down and look over towards the east, and you will see a bright red star over there, and that is the planet Mars.
Okay. So Mars, anything else?
Well, Jupiter is still in the sky. Jupiter's been in the sky for a while, and it'll remain there for a few more months. And it's kind of high up in the southwest. It's the brightest thing that you'll see up there other than the moon.
Okay. John French is the interim director of Abrams Planetarium. We've been talking about the 50th anniversary of Abrams Planetarium here in East Lansing. Thanks, John.
Thank you.